you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Lamentations, 3rd chapter, 22 through the 26th verse. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I've read Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, 22 through the 26th verse.
And that voice was Hub, my good dear friend, my brother in the Lord. I think it was mentioned yesterday from Verdell, my brother with a different father and mother, but same father in heaven anyways, but I appreciate Hub. We've been doing a ton of stuff together. Appreciate he and his wife Stephanie, the first lady, sweet, sweet couple with beautiful children. You've heard us talk a little bit about Victory for Victoria. And Hub, I'm going to still have you back another time, because we got to get that whole testimony and sharing, but with you being on with Bishop Franklin a week or two back, and then yesterday with Verdell and Sheila Jones, listening friends, I'm sure if you listened yesterday, you're back for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. I don't even know if I've given the date. It's June 3rd, 2026, and I share that date because all these programs are archived. I think if you go to greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org, I think I have about 14 years worth of Mark and Friends program. So you might have had a neighbor or friend, maybe you were interviewed, and your grandchildren can now listen to that program from 14 or 13 or 10 years ago. So that's a resource. We pray up before the program that God will use it to his glory. And so Hub interceded on behalf of all you listeners that you'll glean something that'll draw you closer to God's love, or the understanding that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, that he's the Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we believe this radio ministry that God has designed all of us with eternity in mind. He wants us all to come to that understanding that he loves and cares for us, that he desires us to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that we can spend eternity with him. There is an eternity. There's a destiny for all of us. And God's desire and this ministry's desire, Verdell and Sheila and Hub's desire, is that you all come to know and understand that God loves and cares for you. And he's demonstrated that. And so yesterday, if you missed a portion of the broadcast or want to hear it again or missed it, I invite you to tune in at our website, and you can listen to some of Verdell's powerful story of having a stroke and how God raised up people around him to instantly recognize it, to get the medical attention he needed, and then supernaturally in various ways to bring healing and change and hope. And we talked also about the power of encouragement. The words that we share and profess over people can have a life-changing influence and can even restructure what we're thinking about something. Sheila was sharing with her husband, Verdell, that, hey, give that gal a chance, some consideration, that nurse. And as Verdell did, he found out that this woman was praying for him and was encouraged by being in his hospital room, and really spoke some words of encouragement over him that he was going to completely be healed from the stroke that could have taken his life or could have left him paralyzed in parts of his body. And I'm sure many of you have either gone through that or know somebody has gone through that. And sometimes it's irreparable that some of the damages don't heal up. Well, Verdell shared a testimony this past Saturday, and I was so moved and encouraged by it. I said, you got to come in for Testimony Tuesday. And so yesterday's broadcast, you'll hear a faith-honoring, God-honoring Testimony Tuesday. And so if you missed it, stop by Great News Radio or WLUJ.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen to that. But I wanted to have them back because, as Hub read, we looked at Lamentations 3:22 and 23 yesterday, And Verdell shared why that was one of his favorite verses. He loves all of Scripture and believes it's powerful and uniquely used of God to educate us, to encourage us, to bless us, to point towards Jesus, and to point towards God's grace and mercy. But I looked at, and we ran out of time, the next two verses. You always want to read Scripture in context, like what was the audience? What was the author's intent? Who was he trying to reach? What was he trying to convey? Is it a spiritual truth, or it's a practical wisdom, or it's insights? Or there's different ways to read Scripture and understand it. And you always pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our minds and guide us and lead us and educate us. But it's always going to either point towards Jesus or reveal Jesus or reveal God's character and how he works or desires to work in all of us. Well, it's always good to read the verses before and after. And so as Verdell was dividing it and sharing it, and he gave us all sorts of statistics. Gosh, I'm talking a lot. Anyways, I'm going to have him share in just a minute. I guess I'm on a bit of a roll because I was so excited what he shared yesterday and even Hub reading these verses today. But it's always important to look at the verses that surround a favorite verse. And this verse 24, my NIV version says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Ooh, that word wait, that's an important one for all of us. Then verse 25, the Lord is good. Yes, we believe that, but sometimes because of heartache or misunderstanding or sin or the evil one, we're blinded by the fact that God is always good. But the Lord is good to those who hope in him. Oh, may that be true of you today. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So I wanted to have all of them back. And thank you, God, for timing and working that out so you could be available for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. But let's talk a little bit about these verses 24, 25, and 26. Whew, okay, I'm going to step back and let you guys share a little of some of your thoughts on these verses.
I think the writer is very clear. Part of the hope of Israel was looking for the Messiah. You know, we had a dilemma in humanity. There was a rift, a chasm that had happened when our forefather Adam fell. And so the hope of Israel, because of the proto-evangelium in Genesis 3rd chapter that says the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, they were always waiting who would be the Messiah, who would be the next one. This is one of the reasons why even it was almost anathema for a woman who was without child in the Old Testament, because it was a possibility she could be the one that would carry the Christ child. You know, I like in our dilemma a show that came out in the 60s. It's called The Price is Right, a game show. And we know at the end of the show, there is what is called the showcase, right? And, you know, there's two showcases. And normally the one who's won the most, okay? How many times we watched The Price is Right and saw the person see everything behind showcase number one, but curiosity kills the cat. And so they said, well, I think I'm going to wait and see what's behind showcase number two. Now, what you realize is that when that person chooses showcase number two, he forfeits everything in showcase number one. How many times have we looked in the face of the individual who had showcase number one and saw everything in showcase number one, but forfeited for showcase number two and was not excited about what was behind showcase number two? And so we see Adam in the garden. Botany says, it depends on what botanist you read, the research says there were 100 different species and trees in the Garden of Eden. God said you're going to have access to all of them, even including the tree of life. It's just only one that you shouldn't eat or touch. For the day you do it, you should surely die. And the beauty of it is that what I've learned is that God doesn't acquire knowledge like man does, right? Everything there was to know, everything there is to know, everything there'll be to know, he's always known. Why? Because he's eternal, which means he's always existed. And he's omniscient, means he knows all things. So he doesn't inquire. We just had a lot of graduations that happened, high school and collegiate, middle school to junior high and so forth, junior high to high school. And so the hope is that you learn more than you did the previous year. So we acquire knowledge, what, incrementally. God doesn't acquire knowledge like that. And so it's through the prism of knowing everything and being eternal, he told Adam, don't eat of this tree. For the days you do it, you surely die. And so the enemy tricked Adam. When Adam did, the Bible said, when he ate, both of their eyes were open. And so what happened, he chose door number two. What Adam didn't realize, because he was not omniscient, he didn't realize behind door number two there would be cancer. There would be strokes. There would be world wars. There would be famine. There would be pestilence. There would be sin. All of this, he didn't know that. And so because he was the figurehead for humanity, God, he gave him the commandment. And as a result, man was in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And so the enemy comes and he says, oh, I got it, because he was kicked out of the garden, right? The Lord put the cherubim at the edge of the garden with the flaming swords to keep the way of the tree of life. And so the enemy says, I got it. But the thing about the enemy is that he is not omniscient either. Lucifer didn't know all things. He was a created being. And so what he didn't know, that God never builds a house without a fire escape. He didn't know that even behind door number two, there would come one through 40 and two generations. And he would come through the loins of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that he would be God, Emmanuel, God with us. See, at the birth of Christ, he was God with us. Okay? At the cross of Christ, he was God for us. But at Pentecost, he became God in us. And so God had purpose based on his foreknowledge, how this thing would happen. And so the Jews were always looking for the Messiah. Now, the Bible says in Romans 9:11 that blindness apart is partly happening to them until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. God always knew this was happening. What we see happening for our eyes is just the revelation of what God has always known. And so what happened is that the writer there is that, God, you're my portion. You're the one that matters to me more than anything. You know, I'm going to place my confidence in you. I'm going to wait up on you. And when he says, I'm waiting to see the salvation of the Lord, that was the Messiah. They were looking for the Mashiach, or in the Greek, it's called the Christos, the anointed one, the one that would come. There were many people that were called the anointed. David was called anointed. Elijah was called. The question was, what were they anointed for? None of them was anointed to take away sins of the world. And Christ fulfills that longing for Jeremiah and Elijah and all the prophets who went before, longing and waiting for the consolation. He became the consolation of Israel. And see, Jesus becomes the crisis of humanity. G. Campbell Morgan wrote a beautiful book years ago called The Crisis of the Christ. And he talks about how the Christ becomes the Christ of humanity, because basically he comes a raison d'etre, the reason for our existence, because based upon what we do concerning Christ, will eternal destination. So Christ is the most consequential human being who's ever walked upon the face of the earth. Why is that? He's the only one that stood on this 25,000 mile circumference ball, had the temerity, the gall, the hubris, the kahunas to say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can come unto God except through me. Mm-hmm. See, Buddha said there was an eightfold path. Buddha says you can try these different ways. Muhammad said, try this way. Confucius said, how about this? Jesus is the only one that says, I'm the only way. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to back this thing up. I know you've seen the fish and the five loaves. You've seen all these miracles. But the longer I keep doing it, you're going to keep wanting that. But he said, it's an adulterous and perverse generation that keeps seeking after a sign. But you'll get no other sign other than this. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he says, hang everything about my sayings and my teaching and my life based upon me doing something no one has ever done. And that's why we have Easter. That's why we have Resurrection Sunday. Because Jesus Christ did something no one else did. Go to all the tombstones. Go to all the tomb areas around the world of great religious preachers, great religious teachers. And they're full of bones or ashes. But if you go to a tomb in Jerusalem, you'll see that he's not there.
Isn't it Paul that said something like, if he didn't rise from the dead, my like faith
15.
Is yeah,
yes,
it's like foolishness.
That's exactly right. My preaching is in vain, and your belief in him is in vain, because everything hinged upon him getting up out of the grave. Yeah. There's no way that that could have been a myth when all they had to do was go pull the bones out of the car. Listen, what you'll find is that when they study and they talk about the resurrection, when no one denies the fact that Jesus Christ was living. They talked about maybe they didn't agree with things he said. They didn't like the people that followed him. But no one argues about his existence from secular history. You go and you study Suetonius. You go Tacitus. You go Pliny the Younger. All these different individuals, Josephus, Eusebius. If you read all their writings, no one argues the fact that he existed. They hate what that meant. In the court of law, a hostile witness is the greatest witness in the court of law. Because what they do, they tell the facts. Even though I don't like that individual, I tell the truth about what happened. So we have all of these hostile witnesses from antiquity that said Jesus Christ was exactly who said he was, and he did exactly what they said he did. They didn't like it. They didn't like what it meant, but the fact of the matter is, and so if in this life only, Paul says, we have hope in Christ, we're all men to be pitied. But the beauty of it, is that Christ did something no one else has ever done. He got up from the grave. And as a result, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Mm-hmm. I dare not trust a street or frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock we stand.
And isn't it even recorded that there was going to be a payoff to some of the guards that
Absolutely.
Were guarding the tomb? And, hey,
Absolutely.
We'll cover for you,
yeah.
and so you won't. Because
yeah.
a guard, if somehow something happened, they could be killed.
They could be killed.
And so they,
Absolutely.
You know, they worked that all out. But
Absolutely.
His bones were never found.
They're
and
never found.
We
why?
Do serve
he's not
a,
there.
We serve a
why?
Living Lord.
The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Yeah.
For he is not here. For he rose just like he said he would.
And
then he's seen of multiple people after, you know, all these many infallible proofs and seen of many. And he appears among his disciples who were first cowards and ran. Now all of a sudden they're willing to give their life. Something transformational happened. And so we can place our confidence in him. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that there are many people out there that don't believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you to understand that every day he gives you mercy. Every day he gives you breath to breathe.
My Lord.
Every day he allows the blood to course through your veins. Because at the end of the day, he is not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come into repentance. And with the love of God is the fact that God is the only person who has a perfect blend of grace and mercy. With his mercy, he withholds from us what we do deserve, which is judgment. But with his grace, he extends to us what we don't deserve, mm-hmm. which is unmerited favor. And so we're thankful to be able to serve a God like that. And so I would recommend him to everybody because there's nobody like Jesus.
And he's demonstrated, God has demonstrated his love. We mentioned this yesterday, that while we were still sinners, mm-hmm. so it's not when we clean up our lives.
That's exactly
and I
right.
say this, listening friends, some of you maybe have been turned off from attending church or maybe have never attended church, maybe had a bad experience or you never thought to go, but there are churches that are proclaiming the good news message of Jesus, that God loves you and he cares for you. So try a church this Sunday. Try a church and maybe you didn't have a great experience. Try a different church. Church. Keep going because God wants you with a body of believers that will worship and divide his word and proclaim the good news and proclaim that there's
Mark,
a destiny.
Can I ask something while you're on that about the church? I think one of the things that has hindered the church and the Western church is that we've assigned church as a place to where you go instead of the people of who you are. The word ecclesia, where we get the word church from, is used 114 times in the New Testament. Not one time does it refer to a building. How can you go to who you are? If we understand that we're the church, and it's not a place that we go,
right.
there's a different level of responsibility. There's certain places the church can't go, or certain things the church can't say. There's certain ways the church can't react because we understand that we are the ecclesia, the body of Christ, and we are in alignment with the head. He perfected us in Christ, but it doesn't mean we'll be perfect.
Right.
Christ died so that we can be principled. A principled man recognizes his flaws, but he appeals to God and said, that's what the Bible said, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Why? That means we recognize there's nothing that we have to offer. While we yet sinners, he died for us. There's nothing we could offer him to earn his salvation. It was through his fiat and through his love, a love that was displayed that we'd send his only son that would die in our stead. And so I'm thankful for that, for we've now been justified. That begins our journey. Now we'll be sanctified. That is our journey.
All right.
And our destination is glorified. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Justification begins the journey. Sanctification is the journey. Glorification is a destination.
And I love where people will say, wherever you go, as you go, proclaiming that good news
Come
message
on.
Of Jesus. That's being, like you're saying,
That's
the church
it.
Wherever we go. And my passion for the pastors, and this is from Promise Keepers years ago, but the pastor oftentimes is the one that's supposed to equip us to go and be the church wherever we go, because the pastor will have limited influence on that day, but we go to work 40 hours plus a week, or wherever we go, we can be that ambassador. We can be Jesus' disciples.
Hebrews 10:25 says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But the reason we assemble and forsake not to assemble ourselves because of verse 24. It says, let us consider one another.
Mm-hmm.
and provoke each other unto love and good works. The reason the ecclesia comes together is to cheerlead, to receive instruction, so we can go out throughout the week and go to our spheres of influence and be light and be salt. That's what God has called us to.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Hub, I'm going to have you close out with a thought or two and then close out in prayer for our listener, from those that are maybe far from God that don't understand that he loves and cares for them, to the senior saint that's tuned in. I just love that these broadcasts with the 21 frequencies can reach all people in all walks of life.
I could take these five verses and preach a sermon called Postured for Your Portion. He has a portion for us, but we have to make ourselves postured. We have to get in position. If our blessing is in champagne and we in White Heath, we're going to miss it every time. We got to be prepared for our portion. You know, I couldn't go to Iraq with no butter knife. I had to have my M16, my protective mat. I had to get prepared. And God wants us to be prepared for our portion. And, you know, when you always talking about the church, you know, the charcoal, anybody that grill, they don't spread the charcoal way, way out. They put it together. Because when it's together, the fire is lit and it lasts longer because it draws heat from each other. But the charcoal off in the corner, it ain't going to stay heated as long as the ones that's drawing heat. Amazing, amazing, amazing job, Verdell. I'm just watching Mark. Mark like, man, and Mark's a note taker. He needed three pens. Amen. Spirit of the living God, we love you. We honor you. Praise you. We thank you, Lord, for Verdell. We thank you, Lord, for his amazing wife, Sheila. We thank you, Lord, for Mark being a connector. God has called him to be a connector, Lord, and we thank you for his life. He's a gift to the body of Christ, Lord, and just help him continue strengthening for the journey. And then his beautiful wife, Holly, Lord, just help them to continue to do the things that are pleasing in your eyesight. Lord, we honor you, we praise you, and we glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shout out to my beautiful wife. Amazing Sheila.
Amen and amen. Oh, listening friend, God loves you. He cares for you. As it says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's a truth. It's a promise. God loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. Draw near to him today. Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Verdell and Sheila Jones, and Buddy Hub Burnett, Pastor Burnett, with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.